Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Support for WPR comes from Stone Harbor, a Door County resort and conference center overlooking the historic steel bridge in Sturgeon Bay. Details about hosting a wedding or conference are at stoneharbor-resort.com.
Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 12th. I misspoke earlier. Sorry, it is Wednesday, September the 12th. And it is a National Day of Action Against Immigration Raids. Hundreds of cities across the country have called for a boycott, a march, or an event to protest raids of employers looking for undocumented workers and to demand immigration reform. In Wisconsin, there are at least two events going on. Voces de la Frontera will have a rally this morning at Mitchell Park in Milwaukee at 11 o'clock, and the Immigrant Workers Union is organizing a rally at 5 p.m. later this afternoon at the state capitol in Madison. We will talk about this National Day of National Day of Action with two guests and welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Wondering what you think about a crackdown on migrant workers and undocumented workers and their employers, whether or not you think this is the way to go or not. Our first guest says no, and our guest after 7:30 will say yes. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our first guest is Christine Newman Ortiz. She is executive director of Voces de la Frontera, the Workers Center in Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is it that you plan to do later this morning?
Well, really, our focus is on certainly against kind of the broad enforcement measures that we have seen lately, but also specifically against a Bush administration ruling that was recently implemented that has a temporary restraining order on it that would affect, essentially turn the Social Security Administration into an immigration enforcement agency.
Yeah, tell us how it would do that.
The SSA sends out on a regular basis letters to employers and to workers, but when it sends it to employers, it basically says that in some cases there is a no match between a name and a number, and that can be due to various reasons. You know, if someone got divorced, if you got married, typographical error, and also if you are an undocumented worker. So there are these no-match situations where that contribution to the Social Security system goes into a suspense file. And the purpose of those letters is really to, original purpose of those letters, has always been to really just ensure that anyone contributing to the Social Security system, as undocumented workers do, if they're on a payroll, which the majority are on a payroll, is properly credited, and really for any worker. What this new ruling would do is that it would force employers to verify legal status of any worker that shows up on that list and fire them within 90 days if they could not confirm legal status with a government agency.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, two reasons. First of all, this will hurt both documented and legal workers, because 70% of workers on the no-match list are legal workers. And given that these letters will affect 8 million workers around the country, you are talking about potentially, and we know what a gross bureaucracy the immigration system is. For anyone who's close to it, you really know that. People are waiting up to 20 years to get processed, depending on what country you're from. Typically from Mexico 3 to 10 years, and just, you know, huge bureaucracy. So there is a very high likelihood of massive dismissals affecting both legal and undocumented workers. And of course, we know what that happens. You would also mean kind of loss of health insurance coverage. Indirectly, what that means is that many businesses will close because despite the rhetoric, immigrant workers are essential workers. And they are particularly, as we know, and certainly in key sectors of our economy, they are being mistreated and taken advantage of by our current immigration system. But certainly they are an essential workforce, and they're really so the only thing that this will do, and we have actually seen this happening already, is that some businesses that certainly the small businesses and even some of the larger industries will actually shut down. So not only will undocumented workers, that undocumented worker lost his job, but in a business, I have never actually seen any case where there has been where immigrant workers are, undocumented immigrant workers are the only workers. So that means you're going to have broad job losses in the economy. And of course, we know the economy has a chain effect, suppliers, consumers, which will ripple out.
Yeah.
And as consumers and fundamentally in industries where they know that's the workforce, especially agriculture, that they depend on, what that's going to mean is you're going to force people, employers, to move to a cash economy. And that undermines workers, living standards for workers.
And as you mentioned, there is a temporary restraining order on these no-match letters, but you're afraid that this could still happen?
Yeah, I think it's a totally reckless gesture on the part of the administration. And so right now, there is a October 1st, there will be a court hearing. There was a lawsuit filed by the AFL-CIO, ACLU, National Immigration Law Center, and the Alameda County Labor Council, along with other labor organizations that have filed a lawsuit that will go to court on October 1st. However, really depending, it's, how that turns out, these letters, could go out, which is the purpose of these national actions has been, obviously the message about, what the human rights crisis is around the raids has happened, but also very critically around the new ruling and really calling for this new rule to be stopped.
We're talking about some rallies that will be held all over the country today, a National Day of Action, talking with the organizer of one of the rallies in Milwaukee today, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up this afternoon, John Munson in for Ben Marins for At Issue. Coming up after 5, a recent study indicates religion is not proving to be a clear-cut positive in the 2008 presidential campaign. John and his guest will look at why religion may be losing its impact at the polls. That's coming up this afternoon after 5. Today in Milwaukee and Madison and in many other cities across the country, advocates for immigration reform and for undocumented workers will be holding rallies and protests or some sort of event during this, a National Day of Action. Ralliers, the protesters, are concerned over increased crackdowns on immigration enforcement, including raids of employers and no-match letters that the administration wants to send out to employers to check Social Security numbers of workers. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, Christine Newman-Ortiz, who is Executive Director of Voces de la Frontera Workers Center in Milwaukee, which is organizing the rally in Milwaukee at 11 o'clock this morning at Mitchell Park. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And our next caller, or our first caller, is John in Clyde. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. The thing of it is, we're importing people and exporting jobs. Right now, everybody's beefing about the middle. We're losing the middle class. We've lost the lower class. I asked the lady if they're not holding down wages. Let them come through the front door. Now, if we need help that much, if they come through the front door and we don't have the help, we'll let them in. Let them come through the front door. I'm not against immigrants. The higher echelon actually is afraid of immigrants coming in and taking the big jobs, the jobs that pay the big bucks. The guy that works for a living with his back. I live in Verona, but I got a cottage up here. Up here, you go into a McDonald's, and there's very few immigrants up here. They're doing the job. The gringos are doing the jobs the gringos aren't supposed to be wanting. All right. Now, if I'm running a business, if I can hire a guy for $5.40 an hour, where I should be paying the guy $10. What are you going to do? You're going to hire the guy for $5.20 or $5.60 or whatever it is. And if I can shaft him, you got the same thing in Madison. Some guy running a restaurant says he's shorting three guys, and they're here illegally. And that lady said that on this Social Security card stuff, they can have that solved within hours, the most probably 72 hours. Within 3 days,
I'm not following, but I guess John, you're saying that if there's a no match on the Social Security numbers, the employer can figure that.
Yes, if there's a no match on the Social Security, that was on the news. I listen to a lot of news. Within one phone call will usually take care of it. They can usually have it solved within 72 hours if the phone call don't work.
Yeah, it's easily resolved, according to John, Christine, with that, if there's a no match on the Social Security numbers.
I think when 8 million people get letters, I think it's going to get very complicated. And, you know, there are cases where people, like, for instance, one of the speakers we're going to have at an event is a young woman who's had, you know, been struggling with the fact that she's had a no-match situations, had to constantly kind of address that, and that's not to blame for an undocumented worker, but that's just kind of, that's been just her circumstances, and so she's had to be advocating for herself to fix this problem, so she will most likely get a no-match letter in the future. So I think given the scale and the time frame, clearly this is, this is a unique situation. But I agree with what John is saying very well, I think very concisely, that really our policy has been about, you know, importing people and exporting jobs. We import them in two ways, you know. We import them under a guest worker program, which I think in part is what this agenda is, because it's such a crazy proposal. You have to wonder, what is the thinking? Why would the administration that has supported, right, was calling not too long ago for immigration reform, why would they suddenly turn around and not just go after undocumented workers, which, again, the workforce is not going anywhere. It's just a question of under what conditions will it work. And that should be of self-interest to every U.S. citizen and legal worker, because the lower you can keep one group down, that's going to affect you. And so you want people in a higher standard because that's in your own self-interest. But I think, you know, so you have to wonder, why would they do this? Because the one effect is that they're also talking about criminalizing essentially all these employers, if they don't, follow this process. And given that they know the economic reality, they've been arguing for it, why would they do this? My big concern is that, the way that they want to import people, even people who've been living under undocumented status in this country for so long, is through a broad expansion of a Bracero program. You create enough economic and social crisis, which there can be no argument that this is will not create economic and social crisis on a very large scale. And so what's your agenda? I do believe that you create enough crisis that you're going to try to get past what would be a very far-reaching guest worker program, which means, you know what? Yeah, those workers here in the United States will have legal status, but as Southern Poverty Law Center, who published a report called Close to Slavery, it actually means the legalization of a greater level of kind of exploitation. Mm-hmm. And what we're fighting for is for legalization, but as every generation of Americans, whether they had to fight for it, whether it was Native American Indians or African Americans or Asians, or if it was different waves of immigrants who were discriminated against in the exact same way we are now doing it to these set of immigrants, citizenship, a path to citizenship, has ultimately defined equality in this country. Mm-hmm. And so that's what kind of legalization are we looking for? And I do believe It's my personal opinion that that's in part what this agenda is about.
Bernie in Whitewater is with us now. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. As somebody who's helped people get green cards in the past, I'm completely against any path for citizenship for people who have come here illegally. And I believe that for the American people to get any quality of living in terms of wages and in terms of national health, we have to stop this race to the bottom that's coming both from NAFTA and from people who are here illegally. I think we could very easily put very stiff fines on the employers. Say Walmart employs an illegal janitor, fine them $1 million apiece or $10 million apiece, and maybe on the third offense pull their corporate charter. And basically, if we clamp down on the employers and put them out of business where need be with stiff penalties, whereas right now they're basically being given a slap on the wrist, if anything, we could stop this problem. And, you know, the idea that I don't have anything against these illegal immigrants personally. I understand why they're doing what they're doing. But if we're going to raise the quality of the bar for the people here, we cannot deal with this, and we could easily get rid of however many, 10, 20 million are here illegally. If we have a will to do it, we can do it. But the cheap labor and the corporate donations to the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and the weak will of people, a lot of people on the left, not all, who don't understand that this isn't an issue of race. This is an issue of economics, and we're all suffering for it.
Yeah. Christina?
It's both. It's an issue of race, and it is an issue of economics. And I think we would not disagree in the ultimate goals of where we want to go. But the question is how. And there's that saying, old saying, I'm sure we all know it, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. We don't need to look far back to how the immigration system works today to say, let's not buy into the same old garbage. Why did the AFL-CIO change their position from supporting immigration enforcement to in 2000 saying we totally support legalization? You know why? Because that's the school of hard knocks. They learned their lesson. There is a double standard when it comes to immigration law. And employers, yes, they are more protected. Immigration law is fundamentally about labor law. And what the unions recognized is that the only way we don't raise American working standards by supporting laws that repress, you know, that deny or repress rights to other workers, other sections of the workforce. We raise our standards by organizing everybody, whether they're black, white, Asian, man, woman. That's been the history of the labor movement. That's how we won workers' compensation. It's why we have Social Security. It's why we have child labor laws and so forth and on and on and on. No different today. It's the same basic principle. And I think, you know, but you know, the point that he made is completely right. There are two fundamental questions. And again, you know, I think the scam, and it is a scam on the American public, because the way our immigration system is broken is that we have an open border policy under programs, you know, under trade agreements like NAFTA, which means open borders. Capital wants to go there, go. Businesses want, the best jobs want to go there, go. Red carpet treatment, you know, paid with the public tax dollar, both in Mexico and here and Canada, and so forth. And we know that there has been a steady expansion, country by country, of those free trade agreements. The other side of the coin is that what these free trade agreements have done is that it's not just hurt American workers in this country, but it's one of the major contributions to mass migration to the United States. Mm-hmm. Mexico has had, as a consequence of NAFTA, has had a net loss of jobs and increased level of poverty. So it's not just that we're moving jobs over there, but it's really benefited only the largest corporations, multinational corporations, that in the case of Mexico, have actually displaced 2 million small farmers, and so forth.
I need to jump in because we're at the end of the half hour. Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Christine Newman Ortiz. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Wednesday, September the 12th. It's 7:36. We heard in our last half hour an advocate of immigrant workers who is worried about a crackdown on immigrant workers and their employers. Christine Newman Ortiz was with the group Voces de la Frontera, which is organizing a rally in Milwaukee today, and frankly, rallies all over the country today, a national day of action. We found out that she's concerned about the enforcement crackdown on employers, which also includes sending out letters, or the plan to send out letters to employers with Social Security numbers that don't match if they have workers that don't have what seems to be legit Social Security numbers. We talked about that. And now we will get a different perspective during this half hour. Susan Tully is Midwest Field Director of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, and we will welcome your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Susan Tully joins us by telephone. Good morning. Oh, I guess I don't have my guest ready yet. So let me remind you that you can call at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. There will be this rally at 11 o'clock this morning at Mitchell Park in Milwaukee. And there will also be a rally at the state capitol at 5 p.m. this afternoon. These are protesters protesting an increased crackdown on employers and immigrant workers, a national day of action against immigration raids, and a national day of action against the no-match letters that are planned to be sent out. We learned that a temporary restraining order has been placed on the government sending those letters out to employers. And I believe we have Susan Tully on the line. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning. So we talked mainly in our last half hour about concerns over this program to send out these letters to employers if the government finds Social Security numbers not matching with legal documented workers. What can you tell us about that that program? Do you support that?
Oh, absolutely. And the federal government's been doing this for 20, 25 years. It's important, and it's the law that American employers employ people who are legally here in the country, people who are using legitimate and valid ID that belongs to them. And if an employer gets one of these letters, it means there's an issue with that identification. Now, many times it doesn't mean the person's necessarily here in the country illegally or is not legal to work. Oftentimes it means it's someone who has transposed a number, or it's someone who has, so say a woman who's gotten married, changed her name but forgotten to change her Social Security card information as well. And so it clears that up, so the money is going into the accounts and being credited where it should be. But as you know, there's 11 to 20 million illegal aliens in this country, many of them, about 25%, working with false identification that has been stolen from another American that is legitimate, and it causes huge problems. And of course, the federal government should enforce the law as it's written.
Yeah. She was concerned that there would be a lot of foul-ups and bureaucracy, and this was going to be unnecessarily stressful for both legal and illegal workers.
Well, the legal workers who have a legitimate right to be here and there's some sort of little snag in the paperwork will be very quickly cleared up once they report to Social Security and they figure out, you know, like as I said before, that a name has forgotten to be changed or whatever. The only people who really need to be concerned about this is the ones who entered this country illegally. And frankly, they need to be concerned. They should have been concerned enough to wait on the other side, to stand in line and go through the legal process like everyone else. And it's really hard to feel sorry for a group of people who decided to cheat the system and come into this country simply because because going through the process was too much trouble, too much time, or too much money. And for now, for them to be enforced upon and to clearly go out in the streets and pretend as if they have a legitimate complaint to me, it is absolutely outrageous. It's more of this, frankly, Latin American intimidation that likes to be used against Americans. And it's nonsense. If they have a legitimate, validated, justified complaint, that would be one thing, but they do not. They broke the law to come to this country. It's not an administrative law. It is a criminal law. Many of them have come in a second time after being deported. That's a felony. And these people need to understand that the law should be enforced, and Americans need to support law enforcement in doing it.
Yeah. What about the law was broken only because it is too difficult and too long to get into this country going through the legal process, and employers in this country want to hire the illegals because other people won't take the jobs?
Well, employers here want to hire the illegal aliens because it's cheaper for them. Yes, they can underpay them because they come from a country where they made little or no money at all. Many of the illegal aliens who came here are unemployed in their own country and have been for a number of years. And so the employer makes a lot more profit by hiring an illegal alien. He's not paying workman's comp for him. He's not paying the 7.5% of his share of the Social Security for many of these people because, again, about 75% of them are working under the table. And the working class tax-paying American citizens and legal immigrants who are here who work are paying for the social service programs, for the education of the children of illegal aliens. And we can go down the list. It's millions and billions of dollars in this country that the taxpayers are paying to subsidize this cheap labor by the American employer. And the American employer is clearly the guilty one in this party. It's hard to blame the immigrant, the illegal alien who comes here because the government won't enforce the law. But frankly, it still is no excuse. And I have to remind listeners, Joy, that the United States takes in more legal immigrants, through the process each year than the entire rest of the world combined. So when I hear the other side say, oh, the system's broke, they can't process them fast enough, again, what you need to hear is, I don't want to wait my turn. I don't want to wait in line. And I don't think the United States should limit me or keep me excluded from the group. It's not fast enough. And when you have the most generous legal immigration policy in the world, it's hard to understand how the other side can say that.
Let's go to the phones. Danny in Kenosha. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Joy? I got a comment. It's just, all my working life, I've worked beside legal and illegal immigrants, and I talk with some of the legal immigrants nowadays, and they're just like, there's just way too many. There's just way too many. And as far as, like, jobs that people don't want to do, like I see pictures of these plantations in horrible conditions, it's just like, what do we need illegal immigrants for? Because we have a whole bunch of disenfranchised prisoners. If we could put a bunch of, nonviolent criminals out there to do the work for even cheaper. If you look at some of these squalid conditions on these plantations, it's like, if we had the prisoners out there, at least they'd be better treated, and better housed and fed. And I think everybody else would benefit from that. I'm going to take my comment up there.
Do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think, he makes a really good point. We pay about just under $30,000 a prisoner to house and feed these people, and it would be, in prison, really interesting. But I also want to remind all of the listeners that about 25% of all of the population in the federal prison system across the country is illegal, deportable aliens who could be sent back to their countries as well. So, this issue of people coming into this country without review, without legalization, without going through the process is a huge cost and burden to this country in a variety of ways.
Our guest is Susan Tully, Midwest Field Director of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR, and we're talking about today's activities around the country and in Milwaukee and Madison, where immigration advocates for immigrant workers are holding a national day against raids and Social Security, no match letters, and other enforcement or crackdown on employers who may employ undocumented workers. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 8 o'clock, coming up after 8, I'm going to be talking with Charlie Savage, who is a reporter for the Boston Globe, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Boston Globe, and author of the book Takeover, The Return of the Imperial Presidency. That's coming up after 8. Talking about immigration rallies and protests scheduled for today in Madison and Milwaukee and in cities across the country. And our next caller is Mary in Brookfield. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Joy. Thank you so much for taking my call. You know, I have such issue with what's happening here. First of all, I don't believe for a minute that it could possibly be all employees are underpaying these people. That's not a truth. It might be some. And, you know, if you're an employer, you have to pay workman's comp regardless who is on your payroll. And, you know, this issue, it's not about, you know, this is so racist. These people work so hard, and they work to feed their family, just like you or I work to feed our family. And the quality of work that they deliver, these people at this time in our country are truly the backbone of our country. Who is going to do the hard labor and the quality of work that they deliver if you pull all of these people out? And, you know, and that's the purpose of this protest today. They are going to stop working today to show this country what's going to happen if you ship them all out. You know, and you talk about bringing in prisoners or hiring people. What kind of quality of work is going to happen? You know, it's the who's going to landscape everything? Who's going to clean everything? Who's going to do the roads? I mean, you've got to look around. It doesn't make sense what we are doing. And it is so racist. In Mequon, Wisconsin, there was actually an article in the Waukesha Freeman plus the Latino News. The Mequon police are putting a policy through to stop any Latino. And if they do not have documentation, they're going to be deported. You know, that is racist. I can't understand how in our country, where we're supposed to be the country of freedom, that this is allowed to happen. Because you have dark skin and maybe not such a nice car, you're going to get stopped. And if you're not the person you're supposed to be in this country, you're going to get deported. And I also live in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and on Blue Mound Road, if you watch, I drive this road every day, the police stop either Latinos or blacks. You never see someone stopped with a nice car. It is only dark-skinned people.
We might be getting into a different issue, but there's racism involved in this. Susan Tully, what do you say to that?
I say that is not the case. There is no such thing. A Latino is a Caucasian. And to say a Caucasian is racist against another Caucasian is nonsense. You know, Americans need to realize that being a Latino or Hispanic is not a race. And so it's really not racism. In fact, if you were going to talk about anybody being prejudiced by the color of the skin, I have found that the chants that are out in the streets by the protesters is some of the most hateful kind of rhetoric I've heard in years. And it really is upsetting to me, a country that has worked so hard to bridge all of the gaps between colors of skin, and then to have a bunch of foreigners from, you know, primarily Latin America, but But illegal aliens come from all over the world. So, Mary, you need to understand that it's not just Hispanics. It's not just Chinese. It's not Vietnamese. It's Middle East Europeans. It's Middle Easterners that are coming here illegally, people from all over the world. This needs to be a discussion about the fact that people are entering this country, even though we have a process for them to come through there. And, right. And frankly, I find it extremely offensive for someone who has broken the law, who has disrespected the laws of this country and the people that we are, entered this country, and then stand in the streets and demand that they should have a say about anything, is highly offensive to me and to most Americans.
Yeah, what if, it's true what Mary says, is that some of these protesters are not going to work today, and to show if they stop working today, what kind of an impact that would have on our economy?
They did that last May, on May 1st, nationwide. It had little or no impact except for the businesses that highly employ illegal aliens. And frankly, Joy, I'm of the belief that if a business can't operate without people who, without doing business illegally, they have no right to be in business. You know, this is like making arguments for people who deal drugs. We have millions of people who use them, and therefore what? We should make drug dealing legal? This is nonsense. This country, for hundreds of years, have used legal immigrant help, but we didn't have illegal aliens in this country 30 years ago that were in the meatpacking plants, that were in the hotel and restaurant industry. It was American workers. And what has happened in those industries, and it's a fact, there's dozens and dozens of reports that show it, that the employers have driven down the wages by the use of this unbridled flow of cheap labor, illegal aliens, that those jobs are no longer paying a living wage for an American who has to pay his taxes, who has to be, support his family, who cannot simply go down and make himself available to almost every social service program because he has no identity. We have a way of tracking American citizens through their social security number, and they don't qualify for those programs. So it's just simply nonsense to say that if we wouldn't raise the wages back to a living wage in all of those areas where they were 20 years ago, Americans would be working those jobs.
Next we go to Craig in Onalaska. Hi, Craig, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'd like to say I strongly agree with this current guest. I strongly disagreed with the previous guest. I think that we should have extremely tight enforcement of our immigration laws and make it very difficult for anybody to come illegally, extremely expensive for any employer to hire people that are here illegally. But I also think that if an employer cannot hire individuals, that there should be some type of system where they could go to, for example, Mexico, hire individuals at current wages so that there's not this driving down of the current working man's wage. Have those people come for a set period of time by themselves without their families. And if people say, well, gee, you're really hard on families, there's a lot of military people that are gone for long periods of time. I spent almost 2 years overseas without my family. So I don't buy that argument at all. But I think they should come for a certain period of time, then they go back.
Well, what about that? Or what about some sort of comprehensive immigration reform, Susan Tully, or different than the package that failed in Congress recently?
Well, first of all, I happen to agree with the caller that just called in. He's absolutely right. The idea that workers should be able to come here in the United States, taxpayers pick up for the education of their children while the employer employs them is just nonsense, and it's unfair. It's not like we have the best education system anymore in the country. It's actually failing, and it's failing us miserably overwhelming because we have so many people coming here that we can't control. Comprehensive immigration reform was absolutely a joke. what you have to do, Joy, is start by enforcing the border, enforcing employers who hire illegal aliens. We have to stop the flow of people coming into this country before we do anything. Because to simply wave the magic wand today, make them all legal, tomorrow morning we have 10,000 new illegal aliens. The following day we have 20,000 new illegal aliens. And so, and you can see in a very short time we're right back where we are now. What we have to do is stop the flow of people. We need to enforce employer verification of employment eligibility of every worker in this country. And if the jobs would simply dry up, the illegal aliens would quit coming, and the ones that are here illegally would go home. Then if we find at that time that we have shortages of labor, we already have a number of guest worker programs in place. We can increase those numbers as we need it. But the fact is, until you stop the flow, until you deal with what we have here first and foremost, there's no sense in pretending that there's any comprehensive immigration reform simply by waving this magic wand. Mm-hmm. And the American people spoke loudly. 2 years in a row, the Senate proposed what they called comprehensive immigration reform, which includes legalization and very little enforcement. And the American people said, no, that's not the way to do it. And now the laws are being enforced as they should have been, and it is time for us to continue down this road of enforcement until we have matters under control, and then we'll take a look at what we need to do, what workers we need to bring in, and how many. And I agree with him, it needs to be on a short period of time, and then the people need to go back home.
Yeah. So in our final minute, just your brief thoughts on whether these rallies and boycotts and protests today will make any difference.
Well, I love when the illegal aliens, and that's who's out in the streets, it's not the legal immigrant, they're not protesting anything. This is illegal aliens, the people who advocate on their behalf because they make money from illegal aliens, be it the employers or the support groups who get millions of dollars of funding from federal government for helping them. And I have to tell you that nothing has helped our side more than the illegal aliens out in the street making demands, because frankly, I used to have to spend hours explaining to somebody why illegal immigration was a problem. I don't have to do that anymore. Okay. The people, seeing the millions of people in the street making demands of all of us while they've broken the law, just speaks volumes for our side.
We'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for being with us.
My pleasure.
Susan Tully, Midwest Field Director of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.